Welcome to the Joycast, episode 18, A Real Conversation About Suicide. Today, I'm sharing a very special podcast. This is a conversation with my very dear friend, Nora Dunleavy, whose son, Joey, died by suicide in April of 2021. She and I have been talking about recording a podcast to share her wisdom and her experience and how I've benefited so greatly from her openness and transparency and bravery in sharing. If this topic of suicide is a trigger for you, consider skipping today's episode. There are some very helpful links and resources in my show notes. Okay, so today is the first day of Suicide Prevention Month. September every year is Suicide Prevention Month. And 2 years ago, I wrote a blog post about the most powerful conversation that I've ever had. It was a life-changing conversation that I had with my friend Nora Dunleavy, who lost her son to suicide. And I have invited her onto the podcast today to talk with us about that. And she very bravely said yes to this conversation. And I'm so grateful to have her here. Nora and I have been friends since our kids were 3 years old. They were in Montessori class together, and they were fast friends as they were very, very much alike. And we can remember them running around like little puppies on the playground and joining each other for birthday parties and school celebrations, all of that sort of thing. So we watched them grow up together, and they were very, very close friends through the years of swim team. And we remember early mornings them playing with their little army men and their Pokemon and their fun little, what was the video game they would always bring, Game Boy or Nintendo Switch or whatever was the latest handheld video game they were always playing. They loved running around with the Nerf dart guns on the playground and just being kids, you know? And so those were such beautiful and wonderful years. And I was quite devastated to hear the news about Joey. And at the time, I recall not being sure if I should reach out to Nora because I hadn't seen her in about 6 years. And I'm so glad that I did. I think I sent you a letter. Is that right?
You did. In fact, I think your letter was the most real letter I received from anyone.
Mm.
I actually put it up on my bulletin board.
Really?
So I could see it every day as I for everyone to see in the family or who came by the house to see it. It really touched me.
I remember writing that if this could happen in your family, it could happen in my family. And because I knew that our kids were so much alike and, you know, some of the challenges that Joey faced, my youngest also faced. And I just thought like, wow, this is just really hits so close to home as a real genuine possibility, following the very real challenges that our kids face today.
For sure. I remember thinking after I received that letter, just how heard, how seen, how understood I felt, actually. Mm. Because it's hard to respond in grief, and everybody responds differently. Mm-hmm. But what you shared and what you reached out to me about made me feel as though I wasn't alone.
Yeah. Well, I absolutely couldn't imagine it, but I let myself imagine it just for a bit. You know, what would this be like if it happened to me? What would it be like if it happened in our family? You know, and what would I want from my friends? What would I want from even from people who knew me long ago, even from people who knew my child when they were a child? And Would you speak on that? Would you tell us, what do you want when you're in that situation?
Well, at the time, I had no idea what I wanted. To be quite honest, I didn't want to feel alone. And at the same time, I just had absolutely no energy to even have conversation or to be comforted. I walked around like a zombie if I even got out of bed.
Yeah.
So if, I would say everyone responds to grief differently. But I would have much preferred that people reached out to me as a way of showing how they cared. And so many people did. It just overwhelming support for my son and for my family. We were so well taken care of during those very critical first few days where we didn't even know how to be alive ourselves. And then as time kind of went on in the first couple of weeks and months, I much preferred people reaching out versus the opposite of them not reaching out.
Yeah.
There were definitely people I would see when I was out and about, you know, maybe going to the grocery store or getting gas in my car, the few times that I was out where I would run into someone and just the look on their faces or their glances where they would kind of look and feel maybe sorry, but not know what to say and look away. That was so hard. It was so hard because
yeah,
a part of me just wanted to connect.
Yeah.
And a part of me wanted them to, you know Joey's story and to share in, you know, community. But I know it's very hard for people to know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But I have noticed that one of the things that you are really good at is you like talking about Joey and you like to, you know, talk about all of the things that, you know, it's not about the end of Joey. It's nothing about the end of his life. It's about Joey's actual spirit and life and the light that he had and what made him so unique, right? And that's really what, if anybody ever does feel brave enough to speak to a mother who's lost their child, they really just want to talk about their kid, right?
For sure. I still do it. It is one of the things that will bring a smile to my face.
Right.
And talking about my son. Yeah. Talking about my daughter too. Talk about her too. But it does help to speak about him and to share about him and the life he led. And like you said, his beautiful spirit, his incredible smile, his fun personality. He really brought a lot of fun to our home. He was incredibly witty and incredibly charming and super smart. And I like talking about those things. He made me very proud as a mom. So
yeah,
I do like talking about that.
Yeah.
I like the opportunity to be able to talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. So would you tell us a little bit about Joey?
Sure. I think most people would say when they saw him, he would definitely light up a room. He had this incredible smile and it was huge. And he beamed kind of with fun and with just real excitement for life. He, like I said before, he's super charming and he most often got his way with these big brown eyes and lashes. He could pretty much convince anyone to do just about anything for him.
Yes.
Yes. He was very into, as you mentioned earlier, his little army guys and this love for history and love for the armed forces and army men. It was a thread throughout his entire life. When you mentioned the swim team, the Summer Swim League, Joey was known for coming with a little bag of about 100 army guys that he would set up in and among the trees. And half the time he'd leave half of them there. And just anyone who would join him on, you know, playing was more than welcome to do that. When we went to a lot of my daughter's activities, her ballet or her center stage rehearsals, he would be very happy just to sit in the back and play with those army guys. And that grew into a real love for history. So he had a knowledge about history that is unparalleled. When he would go on any of these school tours, or he'd go visit a museum with my husband and our family, he would seek out the docent or the curators who would talk, you know, to whatever was being represented in that museum, and share knowledge with them that he had and learn from them, and often impress them with the amount of knowledge he had at the time. It was just a passion of his.
Yeah.
He played football. He wasn't always the strongest on the team, but he loved being a part of that. So he played football from the time he was 5 years old. He fortunately was able to be on teams that won 4 Super Bowls. He won 4 Super Bowls in KFL out of the 8 years that he played. No, I think he won 3, came in second, but he went to 4 Super Bowls in that time, which is a pretty good record.
Yeah.
We had quite a blast and met many of his good friends there as well as in the Montessori school. In high school, you know, things were a bit of a transition for him coming from Montessori into Kingwood High School, where it's quite the large class environment. Mm-hmm. But he had good friends that he knew from the neighborhood, that he knew from football, that he knew from Montessori in the high school, and remained close friends with those folks, you know, to the end. And they were very good friends of his.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, you know, let's talk a little bit about what we know about suicide rates in kids and teens. We know that it's the second leading cause of death in kids of that age group. And, you know, my youngest child, who was friends with Joey, is trans. And so that suicide consideration, it's big on the minds of parents of trans kids, because they are greatly, vastly more likely to be included in those numbers. And now early on, we learned that for trans kids, if they are accepted by their immediate family and honored in their immediate family with pronouns, and, you know, just being seen and allowed to be themselves, their suicide, the chances of suicide return to the same rate as all other peers their age. It's actually family acceptance that seems to be the biggest factor in their decision to stay or go. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to make that point, because that is why it's always been on my mind, and why I knew when I heard about Joey that it could have happened in our family, and that it's a risk. It's a possibility. So it's a possibility for all of us, right? But I think a little more front of mind when a kid has, you know, even neurodivergence also is a factor. And our kids shared those as well. So
exactly. Kids with ADHD.
ADHD, which, anxiety, depression. It increases the risk.
Absolutely. And even though there may be similar rates when it comes to boys versus girls, the success rate of boys is higher than for girls. So for each of the attempts, boys are more successful. Mm. And usually the smarter they are, the more successful they are too, which is just terrifying.
It's sure.
Just heartbreaking. And these rates are increasing, especially since the pandemic. And very much so in those communities that you mentioned. Kids with ADHD are very, like my son Joey, a very large community of at risk for suicide, which those kids are also both trans and kids with ADHD or other neurodivergent challenges. They can have increased rates for depression and anxiety, as you mentioned, and many of or most suicides have some related underlying depression that has been diagnosed related mm-hmm. to it.
Right.
My son was diagnosed with depression as well.
Joey passed away following or actually during the pandemic, right? We were still actively in the pandemic when this happened.
That's correct. He died April 25th, 2021. I remember thinking if he had just held on a couple more days, things just seemed to be shifting towards the opening up of schools and places to go. I mean, the kids were back in school, but with masks on, and masks were starting to come off, and it was starting to become beautiful spring weather and the sun was shining. And I just thought, like, if he had held on a few more days, that his whole environment would have seemed very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
I very, very much feel that the pandemic contributed considerably to my son's suicide.
Yeah.
The lack of connection with his peers, the lack of the ability to get together for so long, being cooped up at home, trying to learn in an online learning environment was just not conducive for him, especially with ADHD and the way you had pulled down information and be able to keep track of everything on your own without the guidance of a teacher like you would in a classroom environment. Those things
right.
added a lot of additional stress. And I think it was kind of a hopeless time for many people. There was just a whole culture or climate of hopelessness. And
yeah.
I think he felt that too. I think he talked about that with people that he was close to as well during that
yeah.
time. I feel like the pandemic had a lot to do.
Right. Absolutely. That was a very, very difficult time. And I wrote about this in the little blog post that it's been 2 years already since I posted that. And I went to look at the analytics. It's had like 6,000 views or something. So I really do feel like, you know, you sharing with me and then giving me permission to put that out there in that little article has had a nice reach. You know, I mean, 6,000 is not a huge impact, but I think it's, you know, just amazing that you were able to be open in that way. And there were some takeaways. We're going to put the link in the show notes so that you can read the article yourself if you'd like to. But a few things there. We talked a little bit about, in retrospect, some signs that you had that Joey was struggling, although you had no idea it was to this degree. So now that you've had, you know, some time to process, can you tell us a little bit about what you see, some warning signs, some things that were there for you in retrospect?
So, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, my son had ADHD and was being treated for ADHD. And as the pandemic was really underway, and I think it was now his sophomore year, end of his sophomore year, and going into that summer, that we started to see some real signs of depression. And so he did have a therapist. Mm-hmm. He did end up having a psychiatrist, and we were working with his pediatrician, all in ways to try and help him.
Mm-hmm.
But if there were one thing I wish that my son had done is that he really was willing to open up and share how he was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't fully open up. There's no way that he could have opened up and shared and did what he did. So if there's any way to provide some, I guess maybe words of wisdom, is that, you know, it's okay. It's okay to share. It's okay to not be okay. It's there's a ton of help and love and support out there. And if my son had seen just the outpouring of love for him when he died, he would not have felt so alone.
So alone, yeah.
Exactly. So when you read about or you go to these many, many resources like ASFP, which is AFSP, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the JED Foundation, which focuses on young adults who are either in school environments or in college environments. Both of these organizations have some really good guidance mm-hmm. on how to help someone that may need help. So you may be the person that they're reaching out to, or you may see some signs, or you are a parent of a child that you think may be struggling. The best thing that you can do is to get them talking, to get them to open up and let them feel heard, truly heard, mm-hmm. without judgment. Allow whatever they're feeling to be, valid. Make sure that they feel that they can share whatever they're feeling, and that they have the space to be heard. I think that Joey didn't know how to do that.
Right.
He didn't know how to fully share what he was thinking for, whatever reasons, afraid or not wanting to hurt someone or not wanting to be seen less than. But our family has been very, very open about Joey's struggles, about his suicide. And once we started sharing his story, it's amazing how many people came up to us and shared their struggles.
Yeah.
Their personal struggles, their parents of children who were struggling. Our own family, I know you have this a little bit, maybe even in that article, but our own family, so many of them were their kids or were struggling too. And I just wish that Joey had the opportunity to talk to them more, about how they were feeling so that he didn't feel alone.
Right.
Yeah. And if there's anything, again, I could provide in terms of... I wish I could help. It is about being open, about being willing to share about a conversation. It starts with a conversation.
I think you've been so open and willing to share, and that has been remarkable, because I feel like, a lot of times we just clam up about the hard things, the really, really hard things. And we could get lost in some shame cycle, but you didn't do that. You've been very, very brave and feeling as though, some good must come from this, some help for someone else must come from this. And you have just always been transparent and willing to talk with people. And I'm so grateful because, in that conversation when you met with me for lunch, and the conversation which sparked the little blog post that I created was you telling me that, whatever he was afraid of, whatever made it so bad that he wasn't able to keep going, if his grades were so bad, and you were saying, so what? Now you're feeling about that is so what? So what? And you even said, so what anything, which I feel like I want to make a bumper sticker about that. Because right about that time is when my child was ready to start transitioning. And that's a big scary thing to go through as a family too. But, when I had this idea so what? So what? What if my attitude about it is so what anything?
Exactly. I just look back on all the things we worried about. Joey would have found his way. He would have found his way through. He was so smart. He would have found his way through school. Maybe his grades wouldn't have been at the top, but he would have learned. He would have found his way into the right school to accept him, into the right program for him, the right journey for him. And so what I've learned is that I wish that I had that so what attitude at the time, because I was very caught up in, you can't fail, can't make mistakes. What are people going to think? I was caught up in that, and not only for him, but for my daughter too. And I don't have that same approach with her anymore. I hope I give her a lot more freedom and support and listening and guidance where she needs it, and let go of the stuff that she doesn't need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you and I just enjoyed a very hot and steamy walk on Sunday through Memorial Park. And we were catching up on that again. And I was reminding you of how important that so what anything attitude was to help me transition out of like obsessing about my kids' grades and worrying about my kids' future because of those grades. And what is that going to mean for your college acceptance? Or what is it going to mean for your, you know, even if your teachers are going to like you or not, let's say, you know, I was worried a lot, and I was looking at grades all the time, and I was talking all the time about it, you know, have you done this? Have you accomplished that? And I never was asking questions like, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
It was more always like, are you finished with something?
What did you accomplish today?
Yeah. I wanted to be able to stop worrying about it. And I couldn't stop worrying about it until Sky finished her schoolwork, you know, but it, you know, and everybody will say, well, it's none of your business. It's not your schoolwork. But, you know, when you have an ADHD kid and you know that they're lacking some executive function, you feel like they're borrowing yours. They're borrowing your executive function.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases they are, but it can create a bigger, like, divide in the household, you know,
mm-hmm.
As you're being diligent for them, I guess. But you said,
exactly,
if it were up to you now, you would have just been trying to connect and have more fun, like
joy,
so have as much.
It's about joy. I think we so underrate joy.
Yeah. There's
so much can be accomplished with the right attitude and with joy when you have joy behind you, when you have joy with you. So Joey, think about joy.
Wow. I never realized Joey's name is so close to joy.
Sounds so similar. So
wow.
Focus on joy. We worry too much, especially us moms.
Yeah, we definitely worried too much, and we definitely carry too much, and we're sort of afraid to let them fail and to let them fall. But after Joey died, Sky asked me to stop asking about schoolwork, stop asking about grades, stop asking about school at all, and to really just let her handle it. And I was afraid, and I thought it would go sideways probably, and sometimes it did, and she had some just beautiful failures, really fell flat on her face a few times, but she handled it. She got back up and, you know, asked for support from her teachers, and they were supportive, surprisingly much more supportive than I remembered my teachers being. The schools now, I think, are very understanding and open to assisting and accommodating kids who have any sort of learning challenges or ADHD executive function difficulties. And that support continues on through college.
Yes, it does. Even into the workplace, there are accommodations mm-hmm. these days. So we have a lot more understanding about yeah. the needs of our neurodivergent population.
Right. So in wrapping up, I mean, you've already shared your big takeaways, so what anything, and experience more joy, look for more joy, share more joy, and just have fun. have as much fun as possible. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
I'd like to go back to the part about if you're a friend or a parent of someone that you believe is struggling.
Yeah.
About how you can help. And I had mentioned a couple of resources out there. There's a couple of amazing organizations. There's several. The ones that I've been closest to in these last couple of years have been the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and the Judd Foundation. And they have wonderful resources, very easy to access, clearly written to support you. So if you find yourself in a position where you feel that someone is struggling, maybe even considering suicide, it starts with a question. I mean, ask them. You have to bring it up. I know there's a lot of fear about, especially schools have a lot of fear about asking kids about suicide or mentioning the topic of suicide. And if we don't break down this stigma of both suicide and mental health, around mental health, then it's not going to improve. So having open conversation, how you're feeling, asking the tough question, are you suicidal? If they come back and answer yes, they thought about it. The next question should be, do you have a plan?
Yeah.
And if the plan, if they have a plan, how they would do it, then you know for sure that this is a very serious time. It's also the time to ask them to share more of why they are feeling that way, and giving them the space to share and open up, encourage that opening up. And once they start to open up, encouraging that you can offer support and caring for them. There's the immediate number you can call, 988, which is very simple. On the other side of that line are trained professionals to listen when individuals are in this situation where they may feel suicidal or hopeless, and they can guide them. If you feel it is a true emergency that you need to get this person out of whatever environment they're in, you can call 911. You can take them to an emergency room. That is one way to intervene. I would prefer the 988 first, depending on how critical or how much an emergency the situation is.
Yeah.
But I also think if you're the only person you think that can help, I do believe you have an obligation to do something. You need to reach out. So if you haven't heard from your friends or you haven't heard from your family members and you think that they're suffering, you need to reach out, because if you don't, maybe somebody else won't. And they can continue to be alone and not feel the support and then feel hopeless. And you can offer them that lifeline. And you mentioned in your article, it could be life or death. And you could be that person that could help save a life.
Yeah.
So one thing my daughter very bravely said in my son's eulogy, she was so good when she shared, but she shared that we should leave none of our friends behind. Just like Joey's little green army guys and soldiers, we don't leave our men behind. We don't leave our people behind. So don't leave your people behind. If you think they may be suffering, reach out, have a conversation, check in. There's nothing wrong with checking in.
Yeah.
How you're doing.
It's a very brave thing. And I learned in my coach certification training, we were required to do suicide prevention training. And they said that question, are you thinking about taking your life? Have you considered suicide? It's probably one of the hardest things to make yourself say to someone. You might feel embarrassed that you're really stepping in, uncharted territory, or that it's maybe none of your business if they have that kind of a private thought. But that is the most important question you can ask. If you suspect it, that it's the most important question you can ask. And just to be direct and see what they say. See what they say. And let that be an open door, because they may not have an opening anywhere else. And it is scary to get help for something that seems this big. You know, even for the person asking the question, it might feel like, oh, it's too big for me, I don't know. But like you said, there are resources, and we can be with a friend and call 988 together. Or we can have a friend on the phone and right. we can say, I'm going to make this call for you.
Absolutely. But, you got it.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, you're so right when you say you may be the resource.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for meeting with me today and agreeing to this conversation. I wanted to kick off Suicide Prevention Month with something meaningful and helpful, and just really to share our friendship and the way that it's grown in the wake of Joey's passing, because you and I had, you know, a little bit lost track of each other when our kids mm-hmm. got into middle school, but here we are, you know, enjoying a reunion, and mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for you in my life, and so grateful for the blessings and gifts that you've shared with me through your experience.
Well, thank you for asking me and inviting me here and letting me share a little bit more about Joey.
Yeah. We love you, Joey. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gia. Appreciate it.
Right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
To my listeners, I want to say thank you for being brave enough to come and listen to this conversation. Of course, this is a very delicate and very sensitive topic, and Nora and I are not experts in this in any way. So it's very important to remember that we're a couple of moms having a real conversation, and we hope that you will benefit from it in some way, but please know that there are real resources for you in the show notes, and you can always call 988. Those are people who actually know how to help in these very serious matters. And so please take any wisdom from this and don't consider us experts on the subject aside from our own lived experience. And thank you again for listening. I appreciate you.